7:18 a.m. We're joined on our newsmaker line by the great Neil W. McCabe, formerly our chief Washington correspondent. Now he's moved up in the world. He's with One America Network, and now he's covering the DeSantis administration in Florida. So, Neil, you moved to Florida. 2 days later, the FBI raids Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach. These two obviously are connected. Why'd you do it?
Obviously, I cannot comment on this time. My representatives will have a prepared statement. Any suggestion that I had a connection in this is wild and scurrilous charge that I categorically deny.
That's very good.
What's it like in Florida covering DeSantis?
It's wild because, you know, he just dominates the state politically. I don't think Rick Sodd or any other figure in Florida history has really dominated. You'd have to go back to Governor Reuben Askew, who was the governor here in the 70s and early 80s.
Who asked you?
Reuben. So have you had an interview yet with DeSantis?
I've not interacted. I've met with his people. One of the first things I did was meet with members of his team. And I've also talked to people on his campaign team. So obviously there's a Chinese wall between the two of them. So DeSantis does have no primary challenger in the August 23rd primary here in Florida. But what is going to happen is that the school boards are up in Florida, and that's going to be across the state. And, you know, Florida has been ground zero in the fight about parental rights. And DeSantis is really making an effort to support conservatives and parents in those school board fights. The problem is, because there's no primary for DeSantis, there's no primary for Marco Rubio on the Senate side, their fear is that Republicans won't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're sort of trying to kick things into gear. Of course, then also there's the fact that the president of the United States, or the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, lives here. And his home at Mar-a-Lago was raided by the FBI.
Okay, so now give us some insights into that. Like I said, just within hours of your move to Florida, this raid happens. When did you find out about it? What was your reaction? What can you tell us about the raid and the ostensibly they got some magistrate judge that nobody ever heard of to sign a search warrant? So tell us what you've discovered on that.
So I got a text from somebody in Trump world Monday afternoon, and from what I understand, this warrant was, you know, was a pretty wide-ranging warrant, and the agents told the Trump lawyers that they could basically go anywhere, look anywhere, and they basically tore the place up. And while the agents were going through the offices and the residents of Mar-a-Lago, they made Trump's lawyers wait outside. They didn't even allow them to come in. And, you know, it's like 100 degrees outside, and they basically left the lawyers sweating outside just as a way to kind of stick it to them. You know, Mar-a-Lago, the club and resort itself is closed for the summer because the heat is unbearable. It's really it really functions as a winter resort, right? So that's why, you know, President Trump and his operation is in Bedminster, New Jersey, and, you know, he was at Trump Tower, of course, when the thing went down. What's interesting is that in February, National Archives said that they had seized 15 boxes. There's this number, 15 boxes. In February, they said that 15 boxes were taken by the National Archives and brought back to Washington from Mar-a-Lago.
When?
And so
in February.
This is February.
Yeah.
And yet now they're talking about 15 boxes. So I think there's some confusion over what's going on, because it was big news in February that the archive had taken back things from Mar-a-Lago. So I think that there's a deliberate conflation of these two stories. And so I really wonder if that raid has anything to do with what's going on with the National Archive, because everything that the National Archive wanted, it took in February, and they've been working with the president, and they've been allowed to come and go. The president's lawyers have said there've been no problems. Anything they've ever asked us, we've done. And in February, you know, they made a point of taking back. President Obama left a letter for Trump. You know, basically that thing that you do, you leave for your successor. And the archives made a point of seizing that, telling Trump he couldn't even keep that. So there's also
and this is all thing. Sounds so very. Very punitive. Now, my question, Andrew McCarthy, actually, Crom and Neil, wrote at National Review, he said that this was not really about the Presidential Records Act. This was a fishing expedition in order to get the January 6th material to that they want to charge Trump and indict him on the January 6th statement. Did you see that at all? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, this is as I've looked into it. I'm looking and I'm trying to figure out why would there be a problem with the National Archive? Because the National Archive, as I said, they made a big production of going down there in February.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a deliberate conflation and confusion. What the problem that the January 6th people have and the problem with all these other people have who are going after the president for January 6th is that no one has made a connection between the Trump campaign, his White House, personally. There's no connection between Trump and his team and the guys who showed up at the Capitol with bullhorns and crashing the gate. And remember that when the guys were crashing the gates at the Capitol on January 6th, Arizona was being debated in the House and the Senate because the Trump team had a plan to decertify Arizona and a number of other states. So the fact of the matter is that the rioters who crashed the gates of the Capitol disrupted Trump's plan to decertify states.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking you to believe that Trump ordered a mob to disrupt his own plan.
Which doesn't make any sense. Now, Buck Sexton yesterday,
on the 6th.
Neil, Buck Sexton yesterday on his show said that a Trump world attorney who's no longer working with Trump, said he believed that there is a sealed indictment against President Trump already and that this raid was to gather evidence for that sealed indictment. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. One thing that doesn't make sense is that when I want documents and I'm dealing with an attorney or someone who's represented by an attorney, I just do a subpoena. I don't have to raid Mar-a-Lago. I don't have to raid someone's offices. I just subpoena them. And if you don't follow a subpoena, then you have penalties, and then your attorneys can be sanctioned because they're officers of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that you would do a search warrant and not a subpoena is strange to me. And, you know, if there's an indictment, I just don't know. You know, they say you can, you know, prosecutor can get an indictment of a ham sandwich. I just don't know what they possibly could be indicting Trump for. But obviously, this is every possible effort to stop Trump from returning to the White House.
Last question, Neil McCabe. What are the political ramifications of this raid?
1 minute.
What happens in times like these with these kinds of events is it forces people to choose sides. And so it's just one more step towards obliterating the happy fat middle in American politics. And so people have to divvy up sides. And, you know, this is just going to be a continuing process until it comes to a head. And I don't know how it's going to be resolved. But, you know, they threw sand in the gears of Nixon. They threw sand in the gears of Reagan. They got Gingrich thrown out. They jammed up the Tea Party, as you know more than anybody, Michael. And so, you know, the American people sent the nastiest jerk they could find to take care of Washington, Donald J. Trump, and they're jamming up Trump. And so, you know, how many times can the American people keep sending people to Washington to fix the place and still go along with this system? Because the system doesn't seem to be working.
And on that upbeat note, Neil W. McCabe, we thank you so much for joining us. And be careful the next state you move to. All right. Thanks, Neil W. McCabe. Crom will have more with the author of a new book, Requiem for Reality, after this.